and a big hey hey, and as always, the warmest aloha welcome. You are in the Tiki Lounge Remix, the audio venue where we listen to the latest in global world sounds, contemporary jazz, digital beats, whatever sounds good to my ears, and I want to share with yours and your feet as well. My name's Seth Jordan, the proprietor and DJ in this musical establishment. And in this first hour of the program, our special guest is music correspondent Miss Rhoda Roberts, who's the head of First Nations programming at the Sydney Opera House. She, of course, also was the longtime presenter of the great Indigenous music radio program Deadly Sounds on the Community Network over two decades. And we're going to be catching up with Rhoda, what she's listening to these days and what she's involved in just a little while here in the Tiki Lounge Remix. But first up, we're going to head to West Africa, as is our wont, and the band Songhoi Blues, a group from the Timbuktu region of Mali, who have moved to the capital, Bamako, in the last few years. They've got a brand new album coming out very soon called Resistance, and this is the first single from it, and it is called Bamako, after the capital of Mali. So let's have a listen. From Mali, Songhoi Blues in the Tiki Lounge Remix.
Oh,
Yeah, it's the sound of a brand new group from West Africa. They're called Mabisi, M-A-B-I-I-S-I. A lot of I's in there. Mabisi. And that brings together Art Melody, a rapper from Burkina Faso, Upper Volta back in colonial days, and Stevo Atambere, a musician from Ghana who plays the instrument called the kalago, which is a West African stringed instrument. They live in the capital cities, Ouagadougou and Accra, of their respective countries, and come together as Mabisi. That's their debut album. That's a track called Buda Yembre, the Ghost Nebula remix of that. Mabisi from West Africa here in the Tiki Lounge remix. Well, I want to cross over fairly quickly today to Rhoda Roberts, who had a conversation with this week. Once again, she's the head of First Nations programming at the Sydney Opera House and was that longtime presenter of that wonderful, wonderful show, Deadly Sounds, over 2 decades here on community broadcasting. Sad not to have it on a weekly basis anymore. She's also the festival director of the Boomerang Festival, which is incorporated within Blues Fest these days. That just took place, and we talk about that. She's also the director of the Opera House's own free Indigenous festival called Homeground. It takes place every November out in the outdoor area there outside of the big Sydney Opera House. And Rhoda is one of our music correspondents here in the Tiki Lounge Remix, but we haven't had a chance to talk to her in recent months. So I thought it was more than time to catch up with Rhoda. We're going to start off by playing a track from one of her favorites at the moment, which we'll talk about in the interview, Emily Wuramura, fine young singer originally from the Groot Island area. Let's hear a track which translates as Turtle Song. This is Emily Wuramura, and then we'll catch up with Miss Rhoda Roberts here in the Tiki Lounge Remix. On the line from Sydney, I'm speaking with Indigenous music producer Miss Rhoda Roberts, one of our music correspondents, but we haven't had you on air so far since the show started back in October time. Rhoda, you've been very, very busy, haven't you?
I have indeed, and it's wonderful to be on the Tiki Lounge.
Yeah. Now, you've just finished up at Blues Fest a few weeks ago, presenting the section of that they call Boomerang. This is kind of an ongoing story here, because Boomerang has a history where you tried to set it up as an independent festival for a while up on the Blues Fest site, and now it's been amalgamated within that over the last few years, and you were down at the Juke Joint stage this year, weren't you?
We were indeed. So it's a bit of a history. Of course, in 2013, we had a successful festival as a standalone event
yes.
on the Blues Fest site. And that, of course, is our vision. But because we self-funded that, there's only so much self-funding we have.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at support from corporate, philanthropic, and, of course, state and federal funding. Unfortunately, we've been incredibly unsuccessful over the last 5 years to gain any sort of income or support from any sectors.
Yeah, it's
and
tough.
And so we wanted to keep the momentum of Boomerang continuing so people would have a reference point of what it could be. It's not just about the music. So Peter Noble, of course, with his huge generosity, gave us a space to continually profile a taste of Boomerang within the Blues
yeah,
Festival.
Good, good on Peter
and
for
so
doing that.
Yeah, and so we've created the precinct, so to speak, and it's moved around over the last few years. And this year, of course, as you mentioned, we were at the Duke Joint, which actually the feedback from patrons was they preferred it there because it was quite contained. They liked the space. We will always have elements, as Peter has always, in the history of blues, had First Nations artists across stages. We'll always have that, but we certainly want to continue the experiences that we offer to Blues Fest patrons. But 2018, we're really hoping we can raise much-needed funds to have a standalone Boomerang Festival. I know personally there's a great need for this, not only for our community, but for the broader Australian community.
Yeah, certainly.
I ran a festival for 17 years called The Dreaming.
Yeah, up in Queensland on the Woodford site up there. And that was a wonderful festival, Greta.
It was indeed. And we, you know, had that in Sydney for 10 years and then relocated it to Queensland and ran it there for 7 years. And it was highly successful. So I know there are audiences who are wanting to have these experiences.
And at Blues Fest this year, down there at the Duke Joint, the presentation for Boomerang was kind of in the early afternoon, which kind of worked really well, didn't it? Because, you know, that's not when the bigger bands are happening on the other stages. It's earlier in the afternoon, and it lets people kind of ease into those big full days, and there's no sound bleed or anything. You kind of have that time to yourself.
Yeah, look, it worked really well with the schedule. There's a few tweaks we have to make. Of course, there were other First Nations bands across the festival, and they performed in, you know, late night slots and various other slots. But we were trying to focus on having that gentler sort of music in the afternoon into the early evening, and of course coinciding with our free opportunities of experience such as weaving or having a, a traditional healing.
And there was that nice dance circle out front too, wasn't there?
Yeah, look, one of the big things about being placed within blues, you can't compete with the big names. Everyone wants to see those great acts.
Sure.
So what we hope to show is a point of difference. And, of course, music doesn't just, like the Western world where people talk about the genres of music. Our music is steeped in our footprints of ceremony and song cycles and so forth. So the music is sort of different to Western music to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have our contemporary performers such as Busby Maru and Emily Warramura and so forth. But having that sand circle shows how music dance is quite holistic and entwined.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, I also wanted to mention, Rhoda, down there at the Opera House where you do the production for the Indigenous components that's presented there, Home Ground has been going for a number of years now there around the November time period, correct?
Yes, indeed. We do it annually. We have a lot of events going throughout the year, First Nations events across the Opera House. But one of the things is the accessibility to those sorts of buildings, particularly for community, but also for audiences who've never really experienced any Aboriginal or First Nations culture. So we moved it outside to create a festival atmosphere. It's been doing extremely well. This year we're very excited that we'll be moving it to the forecourt.
Fantastic.
As part of our forecourt music series. And so that's exciting, and we'll create a village that still has our arts market, our various workshops, our healing programs, our film and VR programs, along with dance, music, and so forth.
And probably one of the greatest things about it is it's free. Everybody can just come along, can't they?
It's free, and it is really while it has a focus and priority for Aboriginal artists and Torres Strait Islander artists of Australia, it's also about First Nations. And so everything from Celtic music right through to, you know, traditional groups coming out of Papua New Guinea and so forth. So this year's lineup is quite exciting. Quite a few names that have built audiences in the Southern Hemisphere over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people will just love it. Such an eclectic world music lineup.
And what are the dates for Homeground this year?
So this year, Homeground is the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
It is the 25th and 6th.
Okay.
So it's the last weekend of November, which is really lovely. The weather's usually beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And when will the lineup get announced?
Very soon. Very, very soon. We'll be announcing around the July period.
Okay, and that, of course, will be on the Opera House website as well, if people want to keep an eye on that for Homeground.
Yes, indeed, it will. But there's a couple of favourites and some newbies and a few great surprises that I think not only the Aboriginal community, but indeed the gay and lesbian community will be very excited about some of the lineup as well.
Fantastic.
That's quite a few hints there.
Yeah, I'm getting an idea. Okay, now, as I do with all of our music correspondents here, Rhoda, I want to get a taste for what you're listening to at the moment and what you're excited about. So you've got a few different albums and tracks here that you'd like to feature.
Yes, you know, to have to choose just a few is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
But there's a young favourite of mine. I had the opportunity of actually working with this young lass when I set up a festival in Queensland with Queensland Performing Arts and QPAC, and we established an event a few years back. I'm trying to think of the dates.
Mm-hmm.
But it was called Clancestry. Great little festival. And during one of the years, we were able to work with local Brisbane organisations, and we developed a sort of, I guess, masterclass workshop with Bernard Fanning. And one of the young artists who went through that workshop was Emily Warramurra.
Mm.
Well, she showed that she was a shining star back then, and now she's just hitting the festival circuit. She is such
yeah.
a sweetheart.
She's done amazingly in the last year or so, hasn't she? She's really popping up in so many different venues and festivals.
Yeah, and look, she has an incredible story as well, because she's originally from Groote Eylandt. That's
mm-hmm.
her family and traditional homes. And she sings both in English and language. She's very young. She's got a great vocal, but it's the lyrics as well that really impress me. Now, this is a young girl who taught herself to play piano at the age of 10, and she's just so eclectic with her music, but I think she's going to be an incredible talent coming up over the next few years. And, you know, if people have been to Woodford, Gorama, Island Vibe, all the various festivals at the moment, they would have caught her.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really haven't had that much music from a Groote Eylandt background, have we?
No, and often we see those bands coming out of Northeast Arnhem Land.
Yeah.
It's very rare to see the female lead singer. And so, but she's young, she's terribly contemporary and amazing. But the fact that she sticks so culturally to her language, so she's a new leader. I think she's going to be a great tradition bearer in years to come, because she is carrying those ancient songs of Groote Eylandt
mm.
and fusing them. So they're relevant to her generation, and that's exciting.
And her debut EP out called Black Smoke on the Wantok label, and we're going to hear the title track here from Emily Warramurra.
I'll be sleeping under stars tonight, not sure exactly where I'll be. Maybe underneath the pale moonlight, or maybe underneath that tree. Black smoke, riding in the sky tonight. Everything will be alright if you let go. Humans will gather in a place tonight. Everything will be alright if you let go. Thank you. sleeping on the stars tonight. Not sure exactly where I'll be. Maybe underneath the pale moonlight, or maybe underneath that tree. Black smoke riding in the sky tonight. Everything will be alright if you let go. Humans will gather in a place tonight. Everything will be alright if you let go.
There's another young Indigenous singer from Arnhem Land who's been making quite a splash over the last couple of years, too, at festivals around the country. I'm speaking of Yermal. Tell me about him, Rhoda.
Look, Yermal Marika comes from a dynasty. Not only are the Marikas incredible artists, visual artists, and, of course, his grandfathers were very much involved in the Bark Petition.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first Indigenous people to sit on the Australia Council for the Arts. And, of course, his father was a member of Yothu Yindi.
Yeah.
So he comes from this incredible family, huge legacies, and he's so inspired by his other grandfather, of course, the late Dr. Yunupingu, mm-hmm. former lead singer of Yothu Yindi.
So he's got both the Marikas and the Yunupingus in his background. That's pretty strong stuff. That's kind of Arnhem Land royalty, isn't it?
It is royalty, and, you know, he is a young man who left home, went to school in Geelong, at Geelong Grammar. Again, a huge step to make, leaving your homeland, because I know he is so connected to his homeland, and he has such a depth, I guess, that belies how young he is. He carries that legacy and obligation with great respect. And so just as a young man who is going to be literally a wisdom keeper in years to come, I really admire him. And he's such a gentleman. And on top of all that, he's just the darling. He has beautiful stage presence. He works really hard at his music. And I guess to top it all off, this man is sensational. He's possibly a member of a very small club of Aboriginal people who have trained at conservatoriums.
Yeah, a unique voice, really, doesn't he?
He does, and he's currently at the Melbourne Conservatorium. And what that will mean for his future, I can see this man really lives in two worlds. I can see that he will take those song cycles, those Manichae, those ancient Manichaes, and in years to come we'll probably see, you know, compositions and scores for orchestras because of this young man. Extraordinary. Love him. I think he's got an incredible future. He did so much at Bluesfest this year. I think he was the silent hit in a way.
Yeah, he did that here at the Bellow Winter Music Festival last year as well. You know, most people had not heard of him at all, and he was certainly the quiet hit of the festival. And what I really like with Yermal is he's got confidence, and I think that probably comes from those two strong family backgrounds. You know very well, Rhoda, you know, sometimes we're getting artists down from Arnhem Land, and sometimes they're confident, other times they need to be encouraged for their art, that their art is wonderful and will reach an audience perfectly. But Yermal needs no confidence boosting whatsoever, does he?
And, you know, it's interesting, that confidence, not only with Woodyana, his dad, and all that connection, you know, because, you know, he's obviously related to Jeffrey Gurum or Yunupingu, but also I have to take my hat off to the actual mainstream music industry, because he's worked with mentors such as Shane Howard, Neil Murray, Archie Roach, and so forth. So it's these men who have been a great guide for him in an urban environment and getting into music and you know, recording studios and things that are quite foreign when you come from such a remote homeland. So we really do have to acknowledge those mentors as well, who are continuing that tradition of, I guess, an intergenerational exchange of how the industry works.
Well, let's hear a track from Yermal's own debut EP called Youngblood.
Mayangan, mayangan, mayangan. Strong against the tide, look at the world through different eyes. No one can hold me to the ground. When you wake up, the world is spinning around.
Yeah, from Arnhem Land, that's Jermal Marika from his debut EP called Youngblood, and a track called Mayangan with Neil Murray on backing vocals and guitar there as well, from the great Warumpy Band way back when. And it's one of the choices for our special guest and music correspondent here in Tiki Lounge this week, Miss Rhoda Roberts. Rhoda, the Canadian group A Tribe Called Red, now you brought them out here to Australia for their debut coming up to 2 years ago now, and they performed at Home Ground. They've got a great, great new album out as well called Hallucination.
These guys are amazing. Again, it's young people who are very passionate about their culture, but they're also very vocal in their local communities as, I guess, custodians. They formed many years ago. I just love the fact that they engage electronica with ancient sounds of the song cycles of the powwow.
Yeah, they're taking those old, some of them are old and some of them are contemporary powwow songs, and then overlaying them with the most contemporary electronic beats. They're pretty hip mob, aren't they?
They are, and look, they've got a huge following. I mean, they did Coachella a few years ago, and I think it was about 2014, and it just went off. But I think the big thing about their music that really, I guess, connects people when they hear it, it might be electronica and you hear these incredible ancient sounds of stomping, but their music is really for every gender. They don't seem to have, you watch the audience and it's all ages, there's a real acceptance of that. But I think when you do hear their lyrics and social activism that they lead as individual members as well, they just challenge all that stereotyping. And, you know, for Native Canadians and Americans, it's a very difficult one because all of us have grown up with the Western movies.
Yeah.
The cartoons that have depicted Pocahontas.
The John Wayne movies, all that kind of Indian stereotypes.
So they've had a lot of work to do to show a positivity of culture and sort of break down those global assumptions of the Indian. And they do it really well, and I think that's what I love. Again, here's a new generation. These are all the artists that you're playing today. They're all a new generation of great community people who have grown up with huge social impacts of who they are with their identity as Aboriginal people. But they're taking that as a new generation and shifting it. Yeah, I just find it incredible. They're actually, all these young people are so inspirational. When you hear their music, when you hear them talk, they're actually quite tireless about how they want First Nations to be represented. Mm. It's an incredible voice. And when you hear someone like in Canada, John Trudell is an incredible First Nations voice. Everyone admires this man. He is a forefather of the sovereignty movement and, you know, quite incredible. And for him to go on to their album with some of his work says a lot about this group.
And I think that was John's last recorded work, wasn't it? As he passed away last year.
Yeah, I think it was. So, you know, to have those alumni sort of involved with these groups is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, they've done a collaboration with Buffy St. Marie as well, and hip-hop artists. And I like that their show is fantastic because they have great visuals. You were talking about some of those old movie images. They incorporate that in. It's pretty psychedelic. They've got their onstage hoop dancer, sometimes two of those as well. So it's a wonderful live show.
Again, it's that whole thing of the point of difference of music. It's holistic with the powwow. It's holistic with the imagery. When you hear their music and that electronica, and then you hear that call through it, and then you look at the imagery that's on their multimedia background, you're challenged. And that's beautiful because it's done in such a celebratory way.
Well, let's hear a track from these fellas, Electric Powwow. This is Canada's A Tribe Called Red.
Mama,
And finally, Rhoda, usually music correspondents give me three tracks, but since this is your first time, we've given you four of them. What the hell? Now, you wanted to highlight someone here who's very, very unusual. This is a woman from India. Now, tell me about her and her story and her music.
Okay, so these guys are one of the most celebrated groups of India, and so not what you would expect, because the lead singer is... Often we don't look at India, as in the nation of India, as First Nations.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, we sort of know a lot about India because it's one of our neighbours. But people forget there are tribal people that still exist in this region.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this woman in the fact that she just celebrates who she is as a tribal woman. But when you see her on stage, it is the most unexpected look. She defies everything that we think is Indian music,
mm-hmm.
but then gives us so much more and is so proud of her ancestry. And the band Soulmate,
mm-hmm.
so it's Tipriti Karbanga, I hope I've got the pronunciation right, but they're based in Shillong in India, and they perform all around the country, and indeed they've performed quite a bit in the States as well. But when you hear her sing, you're almost listening to a mix of a Janis Joplin with this pride of tribal India. And that's what I love, is that she's a strong, incredible woman, one. But two, she's showing that music in India doesn't just have to be about drums and chants. You know, I think she's one of the most celebrated women of India. She's an incredible role model as well, showing that you can get up on stage and sing as a woman and still do it with appropriate. They do a lot of stuff. I know they're doing like Women's Day things. They're just profound.
And what tribal group is she from? Do you know, Rhoda?
The Karbanga tribe.
Karbanga, that's K-H-A-R-B-A-N-G-A-R. Okay, Tabriti. Karbanga.
Shillong, yeah.
And the band is called Soulmate, and
the band's called Soulmate, and the two of them, Rudy, who's like lead guitarist, Rudy Walang, and Tabariti, they sort of head this band. And often when they go around the world to perform, they'll use a local session band. But just incredible. I'm blown away by her voice and just her pride in her culture as well.
Let's have a listen to Tabriti and Soulmate from Tribal India.
Nobody but you. Ain't nobody but you, Lord. You make me holy. Yes, you make me this life of mine. There were mountains so hard to climb, and sometimes I felt like I was losing my mind. And then I heard a voice say,
And what about your own broadcasting, right? You did Deadly Sounds for so many years. More recently, you did Deadly Voices from the Opera House. Any broadcasting looking on the horizon for you again?
Yes, indeed there is. We've also got a podcast that we're promoting through the Sydney Opera House called Deadly Voices Podcast. And each year we'll be bringing Deadly Voices live to audiences. So this year, on May the 27th, I'm very, very excited about this. We have a talk in the Playhouse on May the 27th. That's 50 years, of course, since the referendum. So it's an incredibly historic day. And so we have the accidental activist. And this, of course, is talking about the water protectors from Standing Rock. So we have Tara Huska, who's a Native American woman. She's a tribal attorney. She's at Standing Rock, but she also was the Native American advisor to the Bernie Saunders campaign during the last election.
Okay.
We have Bradley Mogridge, who is a Gamilaroi man. He's a water scientist, a hydrogeologist. I think he's the only Aboriginal water scientist in the world.
Hmm.
And he talks about, you know, the issues we face with the Artesian Basin in the West on his country. And joining us for this panel discussion as the accidental activists, where three people have been struck by the injustice they felt and that they had no other choice but to be vocal. And that, of course, is Dane Pratsky. We're delighted to have him. Many people will know him as the Frack Man, the young Australian who moved to Queensland for a tree change, and his world certainly changed, but not in the way he expected. So on May the 27th at 4 p.m. at the Playhouse, we had this incredible discussion, and I'm very excited about that. And of course, these are part of the people that we've featured on our Deadly Voices podcast each month from the Opera House.
Rhoda Roberts, head of First Nations programming at the Sydney Opera House. Thanks so much for your time, and hope to have you back here in Tiki Lounge Remix on a more regular basis in coming months.
Thank you, Seth, and thanks to everyone for listening. There's so much music out there. You'll have to keep going for years, Seth, so we can cover all the music.
You're listening to the sounds of Debashish Bhattacharya from his most recent release, Hawaii to Calcutta, a tribute to Taumoli. And thanks to Rhoda Roberts for that big, long chat there. Toward the tail end of that conversation, you heard music, the Indian blues from Tibitri Karbanga and the group Soulmate, a track called Nobody But You, Lord, from their most recent release called 10 Stories Up. And before that, you heard A Tribe Called Red, featuring Australia's own Oka on there on the didgeridoo, along with the Chippewa Travelers on the traditional powwow chants, from their most recent release called We Are the Halusi Nation. And time to remind you, that's just about all we've got for this first hour of the program. If your station's one of those that leaves us after the first hour, we'll come on back again next week. If you're sticking around, plenty more good music coming your way in the Tiki Lounge Remix, which is produced in the studios of 2BBB in Bellingen, New South Wales, and heard on stations all around the country thanks to the Community Radio Network. And the program is produced with the assistance of the Department of Communications via the Community Broadcasting Foundation.